You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Let's go. I am joined by my guest host today because Alexis decided, he was gifted the opportunity. To go
Alexis
to
decided he was going to be a superstar this week.
No, he was gifted the opportunity to obviously go to the Champions League final for CBS and cover. He did a bunch of fun interviews. He was talking to Patrick Vieira.
He got a lot of hugs.
Yeah, that was like part of the content piece was about hugging. Who's a better hugger? And then, which is just a way to weasel yourself into hugging a lot of people.
Yeah.
We know your games, Alexis.
Not fooling anyone. You tried it on me. I was like, you're not getting me.
It's a very strange question. Who hugs you better, Alexis or your mother? You're like, what? We got to test it out. But welcome to the show. I'm excited about today's show. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Champions League final, a bunch of things to discuss. But I'm joined by my guest host, Christine Cooper. Christine, what's up?
I am elated to be here. Going to try to, do all the heavy lifting that Alexis does.
Okay. Alexis hasn't lifted anything in years, I promise. Okay.
Brutal.
But yes, we'll start with the Champions League final. I want to make sure I mention this because I always, I'm terrible at plugging stuff. But I am actually going to be co-hosting the congressional soccer match at Audi Field alongside Jillian Sakovic of MLS. You've seen her on MLS Wrap-Up, MLS Season Pass, all that stuff. So if you are a person who lives in the D.C. area, the congressional soccer match is free. You can get tickets. You can see it on our Twitter, at Soccer Cooligans, at Chris Polanco. Go come to the game. It's free. It is like legit a Republicans versus Democrats soccer game. It's going to be wild, bro. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like the Dems really have to show out.
Because, look, all I'm trying to
is
just
this going to be like the groundhog seeing its shadow? Or like, we need the Dems really to win?
Otherwise, Trump. otherwise, the charges get dropped on Trump.
Dems, they lose. Just like, score me 3 goals. I can't afford to lose any more rights as a woman, please.
Republicans win. Marjorie Taylor Greene becomes president. Yeah, there's a lot at stake, everybody. So
I'm surprised they even got the Republicans playing soccer. But what is this game? It's a woke game.
Yeah.
Played by Europeans.
Sir, you need to put the ball down. You can't use your hands.
They kick the ball. And it's like, have I gone woke? You know? So, no, I can't make any of these jokes at the game. So I got to get them out now. But yes, we're going to be the in-stadium host, and we're going to be like announcing and stuff like that. So you will hear us making calls and stuff.
You're making calls too.
I'm the ref, actually. No.
Okay, well, like all the red cards all at once, okay?
Republicans left with, just 2 players. So the game is free. Come check it out. It'll be really, really fun. Go get the, it's being put together by the U.S. Soccer Foundation. I'm absolutely honored to be a part of it. You can go on my Instagram at Christian_Polanco and for the ticket link. So please come to the game if you are in the D.C. area. It'll be really, really dope. Okay, wanted to make sure I mentioned that. All right. The Champions League final. One of the most boring events I have ever seen in my life. And there's going to be some people, I don't know if you'll say this, because obviously there was an Italian team there, and you are the Italy expert that we bring on the show. But and it wasn't much of a surprise of what I kind of expected. But some people were saying, oh, this game was boring. And then some people were like, no, if you think it's boring, you don't know the game and blah, blah, blah. But, even if I don't know the game, it was a little bit dumb. Let's not be crazy.
I'm not going to shame anyone, but it wasn't a boring game.
Okay.
At all. It was
at all? Even the first half?
No, it was tactical. It was tactically masterful, in my opinion. Inzaghi did what he needed to do, despite the fact that I thought, you know, when you use a striking pair that he tends to deploy, which you can argue is a little bit old school or atypical, especially showing up in Champions League, I thought maybe we could get like Lukaku on earlier, if not start. And obviously, very unlucky match for him.
But real quick, but when you say we, are you saying a royal we, or is it we like I'm an inter? What do Inter fans call themselves?
Interisti.
Because you're not Interisti.
No.
You're interesting.
Yes.
But not Interisti.
Thank you. Royal we. Royal we.
Okay.
Me, Christine Coupeau of sound mind and body, was hoping a bit to see. I love Lukaku.
Full disclosure.
I think that
Everton fan. I love
Lukaku.
He's gotten
a tough go and has been unlucky a bit. And in this instance, for sure, the number of ricochets off those posts was just
brutal,
confounding.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at XG, like it came up, I think 2-point-something goals. And not that I'm going to get into like data nerdery here today, but if you're somebody that goes by that at all or it means anything, yeah, easily. They negated almost any of City's attack. And I kind of knew when they were going into it, they were going to have to count on the counter.
Yeah.
That was going to be their way to convert to goals. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. My second plan of attack, as you know, a world football genius, was to ride it out and just defend so heavily that they're forced to pens, because I think that would have put us in a much better position.
Yeah.
Us. Yeah. It's my team now. Yeah, yeah. I secretly actually.
It's a Serie A team. You're like,
they're
yeah.
all my
you're
children.
You're Rob Lowe like, with the Serie A. Right. Hat. I'm like,
it's an Italian flag on my hat.
So I get it. It's all good.
Me going home and wrapping myself in my Italian flag towel.
I think there were a couple inches. So about that, like some people were excited about the storyline about Man City winning the treble. And just to obviously Man City fans, I don't think in general Premier League fans were like going for. Nobody was really rooting for City, but I was rooting for the like, oh, maybe this will be a cool thing in history to have another English treble winning team. And I'll be honest, I think after the final whistle, it was just a little underwhelming. It didn't feel monumental, even though it really was.
The Champions League final is absolutely significant. If you make it to one and you win,
yeah.
If you don't win, it's still something, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of was a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like it was a very divisive Champions League final, though, right? Because people either just didn't want Man City to win, or they wanted Pep to win. They were pulling for Pep to finally solidify his place within the annals of, you know, world football, like legends, which, there's lines there in which you can kind of delineate like, hey, at which point is it enough? You know, how many more things does he have to win?
Yeah.
This is his second treble in his life with two different teams.
Man City generally feel like, not necessarily like evil empire type thing, but they're so good that it's almost ridiculous that they hadn't won it already.
Right.
So it because of the constant heartbreak that they've had in the last, you know, 7-8 years in Champions League, that, you know, the first thing I thought of, honestly, was just like, we had like a World Cup final. And finals in general tend to be you want to play it safe. And sometimes you just can't because the vibes won't allow it. Right. Mm. There's just too much. Players get nervous. Players make mistakes. And this is why I want to give credit to like Inter, where it's just like the defensive strategy was there. I thought they really limited Grealish. I thought they really limited
the
wingers.
They absolutely shut down Haaland, is phenomenal. Okay, we'll get into that conversation. But it's that alone, if that's your singular task in a match, congratulations if you managed to keep him goalless.
Right, right.
But I think the first 5 to 8 minutes of that match, I was probably more nervous than Inter were, and they went into it. Like, full disclosure, they went into it saying, like, hey, like, this is nerve-wracking. Like, even they had even a joke on their IG that was like, oh, my gosh, they're putting out this, like, yeah, okay, we're nervous.
It's, you know, right, whatever. Right, right.
But I just, the first or second big defensive play where Haaland actually skied it, and mm-hmm. I was like, DeMarco, where are you? I was legitimately upset about that, and I know before you get ahead of yourselves where you're like, Christine, he was offside anyway. Guess what? That's not to my liking. Mm-hmm. I don't even want him to get a chance, okay? I want you hugged up on him like the big tree he is, and I don't want any ball near him. That's not adequate.
So, yeah, it really just felt, for whatever reason, just like not a boring treble, but it just didn't have the like, man, I can't believe Man City accomplished this, whatever.
I needed an emotional pep reaction. I needed sobbing. Oh, he was too stoic for me.
We got him on all fours though, twerking. You saw that picture?
That was funny. That
Everybody
was
funny. Saw
my man was killing it. Obviously watching Lukaku's girlfriend in some videos.
He was watching Meg Thee Stallion videos beforehand.
That's so we can. My thoughts on Lukaku. Obviously, I'm a big fan, and he's probably a big reason why I'm even an Everton fan. But it was kind of remarkable. The header that went down into the ground, which is like you're told every single time, when you get a header, hit it down to the ground. The goalkeepers have a really tough time, but it went right into Ederson's knee. Yeah. And then the other one where he prevented the header from going in. Yeah. I was in the way.
I mean, so pinged right off of the side of his own boot. Like it just...
Because after the World Cup,
they needed to burn Sage at that point. Like... I know this isn't a thing, but like, call a timeout, somebody go down, whatever you gotta do, but bust the Sage out,
dude,
because something is not well.
It was brutal. And then after the World Cup, and we saw Lukaku, even after when they won against AC Milan, and the interview that he did on the panel with CBS Sports, where he's just so likable. You want him to do well. The guy doesn't have a hateful bone or negative bone in his body. And when he just can't catch a break, and that's the problem, is that usually they end up blaming him.
I've been a Lukaku fan, quite frankly, and to be totally honest, I was extremely skeptical of him. But the second that I read his Player Tribune piece, it's one of the few Players Tribune pieces that I've read and just like ugly cried all over myself. But that's also stuck with me. So whoever helped him on that to get his words on paper, you can write anything for me any day.
It was beautiful.
Well, he's a brilliant guy. Like he speaks all those languages. He's clearly very thoughtful, like thinks a lot about like life and, you know, purpose or whatever. It sucks that it happened. But it's crazy too, because these are the two biggest moments that like we know about Lukaku, right? Like in the World Cup and now this final. We didn't really hear from him that much during the Serie A season. He wasn't lighting it up. And
I mean, he was dealing with an injury.
Yeah, he had patches of injury that he hadn't ever really fully
He hadn't fully washed off the stink of that Chelsea jersey. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he still has it.
He's still a Chelsea player.
And
he's
the thing
coming
is, like,
back.
Right now it's expected that he's going back to Chelsea.
He's coming back.
So
no one wants him.
It's kind of brutal. It puts him in a really bad position, though, quite frankly, right now, because after coming off of that Champions League final with a very patchy season, a very underwhelming World Cup appearance, It's very, we need to do better PR for him.
Yeah,
we got to help our guy.
I mean, look, we're here to do Lukaku propaganda, bro.
Coogan's PR firm opening up, Blangolan PR.
The man is just an incredible player, and it's just he just always gets like a bad breakout. Even when he was at Manchester United, it was like he was like one of the leading scorers, and everybody was like, nah, this guy's finished.
He got so abused at United that so I'm still mad at United fans for that.
It's brutal. Okay. I want to talk about Jack Grealish, because I think he was... I think a star of this match. And
go,
a star.
Jack, go. Yeah. I love Jack.
Yeah,
Grealish.
He's just been I think now people are getting to not necessarily see more of him, but just see that he is also just becoming one of the main characters of world football.
He's no longer just a good player with a massive price tag. He's showing how multifaceted he is. He's demonstrating sort of more of his personality, which is kind of fantastic to see in a truly genuine way.
And he's always been honest about
he's funny. He's a little bit silly. I mean, the clips of him still in his kit, like many hours later. Quite frankly, the people who were impressed by that, I kind of laughed and I was like, ha, that was a Saturday for me. I'd go play ball at like 8 a.m. and you'd catch me in Brooklyn sweaty in the same getup at 2 a.m. Like, who hasn't?
You're seeing this or hearing this or if you're listening to the podcast, but Jack Grealish is partying, I think, on top of a stand or a car or something. He's on something and he's in his full kit. This is 6 a.m. in Istanbul and he is partying with the Man City fans.
Listen, the kit fine, but I don't know how he's still in slides. Like, I need better footwear. Like, get me my runners so that way at least I'm more solid underfoot.
So he obviously a big personality, and I love that there was a moment when they were asking him about Haaland and how he trains and all this stuff, and he was comparing it to himself. But he was like, I'm not like that. I'm like, you know, I'll be honest. I have a beer from time to time. So he just like, but keeps it real. And
I would love to party with Grealish. I would drink all of the Celsius to try to keep up. But, you know.
But what I like about it is that he's obviously very genuine. But I loved his post-game interview with the CBS crew because Henry asked him like, yo, what changed? Why you last year they won the title. And he was barely playing, wasn't really getting many minutes, and nobody really understood why they paid so much to contribute for him to contribute so little. And he addressed that here. So I just want to play that real quick.
We know. But what was the turning point for you?
Do you know what it was? There was certain people in the club that are close to the manager who I get on really well with, the manager included. And after my first season, and even the start of my second, I felt like I was letting them down, you know, a little bit, thinking, you know, they paid 100 million for me. What have I actually contributed? Yeah, we won the league in my first season, but I didn't contribute much. Do you know what I mean? And then I was like, I need to liven up here. And then after the World Cup, I don't know, I found a new rhythm and he was playing me a lot. I felt fit and stuff. And then since then, I haven't really looked back. And that's
a great, you know, I don't think we ever really see players highlight, especially like, yo, they paid this much money for me. I feel, as soon as he said it, I was like, oh man, that's like, yo, you're saying what we're all saying on the internet. This is crazy.
But I think that this goes back to sort of what I was saying about like he's demonstrated his personality and his character a lot more in a lot of these interview spots that he's getting to do, because here he shows maturity, a sense of accountability, and a self-awareness that you very rarely will get with someone, and not to keep bringing it back to that, with that kind of price tag on them as a player. Sure. Because eventually they unfortunately do become, more often than not, this overwhelmingly like disembodied ego, and there's no outward, whether or not they feel it themselves, there's no sort of acknowledgement that's even part of the conversation. And he makes him so damn likable.
Yeah, and I think the you know, I mean, let's be for real. The assumption about Jack Grealish is that he's like kind of like an airhead, right?
Yeah. He basically across the internet, it's like, oh, he's just like, you know, the himbo. He likes the party. Yeah. He's not like, and I think that's one of the things like where he's got me as a fan is he's so much more than just that, but that certainly gives him that golden retriever energy. Definitely. That everybody, I'm sorry, it's true. Like, you're going to by default be like, oh my gosh, you're so great. But then there's also this depth to him where it's, you know, I have an understanding of my job, my responsibilities, what kind of legacy I want to create for myself, responsibility to my teammates, to my team.
He's maturing in front of
our
eyes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
not everybody gets there, whether they're in their 20s or 100 years old. You know, it's not... there isn't a fixed age for an appropriate level of awareness.
And it's wild for, you know, any team. Obviously, clearly Pep, watching him at Villa and then having the first season that he had and still thinking like, yo, I know this guy has it. And we saw that. And like, I like that he highlighted the you know, after the World Cup, because after the World Cup, I don't know what happened to Jack Grealish either. He was just like unmarkable. If you try to defend, you can't guess where he's going to go. He's not the fastest guy in the world.
No, but he can get the job done.
I remember Aaron West tweeting about him a couple months ago, and he was just highlighting like he's just one of these dribblers that you don't want to defend against because he's just so like shifty, and you can't really understand. You're busy staring at his calves. I don't know what it is. But he's just, he unlocks something, whether it's Pep saying like, yo, you need to take on these defenders 1v1 and go at them a little bit more. But you start seeing defenders not diving in. They won't even try. And that when you have that kind of confidence.
None of them are as dumb as I am. Exactly. Like, come on, I'll dive in. Grealish, let's go, Grealish.
Two-footed in the chest weeks ago. Kupo was playing against him. But
I would have apologized after.
Okay, you would have shook the ref's hand after they gave you the red card, and you would have walked off.
I'm polite, okay? I wasn't raised by wolves.
I tried my best, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. But that he's playing with just such a level of confidence, and the defenders know that he's confident. And it's a beautiful thing to see because he came from, what was the viral video that he did? The one where they were asking him about like countries of the world or something like that, where he was like, what? Then everybody what? Kept, yeah. He just had no idea about
but
where.
Also like that, that's very much like, hey, like if you're asking a bird to swim and a fish to fly, but what angle were you hoping to get from that? You know what I mean? Like
right.
Media, you definitely have an angle when you ask certain questions of certain people. I'm not going to begrudge him that. Nobody beat up on him.
Hey,
I'll
Jack
find
Grealish,
you.
Do some basic trigonometry.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
I wanted to make sure I showed this because this was also a fun moment from the morning footy broadcast. But Alexis, while he was in, when he touched down in Turkey, and he did, it was like the first hit that they
did. This was the first hit, I think.
And
poor Alexis.
My man got roasted because he was wearing a purple shirt. And the one of the producers at CBS, Ivis Galarsev, was like, hey, you look kind of similar to somebody. And and they compared him to Grimace. So
breath a lot, but he comes for it.
He does. He
That's
does.
Not that sneaky. What you mean sneakily savage? That was open air, yelled in megaphone savage.
He's just
Alexis is quite upset
Poor
about
Alexis.
It.
Alexis looks good in purple, for the record.
But we're looking at it right now, Alexis. Brutal. And Grimace side to side. You know, I'm just saying, it's like, I told him before, you know, when he got to CBS, I'm like, you got no friends there, bro. They're out to get you, dog.
Damn, Alexis, I'm still your friend.
So the next question I want to ask is about Erling Haaland, because Erling Haaland winning, I mean...
One second here. Can we just... I don't know if it's just me. Maybe this is a collective. Does it not feel like Haaland and Grealish have both been with City for much longer than they have been? It's crazy to me that they're contemporaries.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's about Grealish 2 years and
only one year.
Only one.
Yeah.
But Erling Haaland winning, obviously a Golden Boot, winning the Premier League, winning FA Cup, 52 goals in all competitions.
Premier League Player of the Season award as well.
Yeah. And then also winning the Champions League final. It feels almost insane that he is almost, people are just assuming he is not winning the Ballon d'Or. It is straight up going to Lionel Messi. How does that make any sense? What do you think of it?
I don't, I understand the competition, right? Because this is also a very atypical Ballon d'Or because we now have the inclusion of a bizarrely placed Winter World Cup.
Right.
Without the World Cup, I think it would easily clear free Haaland skipping through a grassy knoll with his Ballon d'Or, like singing Sound of Music, like just fine. Okay.
Right.
I think that that's my only potential hang up. That's like, okay, I can understand why you would give it to Messi having won Argentina World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think that Haaland deserves it more this year? Yes.
I mean, but by far, right? I mean, yeah. It was an important World Cup, and obviously Messi.
Had like 36 goals over 38 matches, 12 in Champions League. It's absolutely bananas numbers, okay? In what world, okay? Like, if I score that many goals in my lifetime, like, I'll high-five myself, put it on my gravestone. You'll be like, Christine scored 12 goals, high-five. Like,
it's surreal. It makes almost no...
And he's only 22, right? And so I feel like in that camp... There are people who are like, well, he's 22. He's only going to do better. He's going to probably win a Ballon d'Or in his lifetime. But why not now?
But it's so weird to vote in that, like, in that capacity where you're like, oh, he's going to get one. So
right.
It doesn't matter, I mean, if he scored 4,000 goals
can't pretend,
this
like,
season.
All in, even in that conversation, right? It's obviously Haaland, Messi, but Mbappe is still in that conversation.
Right.
So I think he's likely, no, I think it's far more likely that Haaland or Messi. But again.
I think Mbappe probably had like statistically only, so people, Argentinian people, don't come at me. Statistically only, I feel like Mbappe probably had a better year than Messi did, but because Messi won
for
the
sure.
World Cup.
Yeah, in terms of, he had what, 29 goals?
Yeah, more goals.
But so like, for sure, domestic play, more goals.
Mbappe hasn't won one, right?
No.
No, he's not. But he's also pretty young as well.
He's also 23. Yeah, he's a baby.
Yeah, it just feels like I get the winning World Cup is significant and important, but the emotion can't overtake.
It depends on how you weight things, right? And so I think that's largely dependent upon the voters' perception of things, right?
For me,
like, you just want trouble. You're 22. Mm-hmm. You have a million goals across all competitions.
The treble, I'm
you haven't even.
I can look
been
past the treble. The 52 goals.
Unshakable. That's what I'm saying. Like, unshakable. Right? Like, I don't think I can say there was a dry spell or massive hiccups for Holland.
Right.
In all season long. And for him to have stepped up into massive, massive boots at City to have to perform. Insane.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, would people be upset if Messi didn't win it? Like, that would be so odd to me, given the data, the just insurmountable data of Erling Haaland's season. So I think it's a fair debate, but it highlights the, like, incongruency of, like, how you should vote for this realistically.
Right. Or if we're just going to give the Ballon d'Or to a goat, okay, just hand it to Messi.
Right,
let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But for me, it's Haaland's this year.
Exactly. Because this Ballon d'Or feels like the... What is the award that they give at, like, award, the Vanguard Award? Mm-hmm. Like, the just like the... You're the, one
lifetime
of the OGs.
Yeah, lifetime
achievement. And that's what this feels like for
Messi. If they were to give it to Messi. I was going to say, too, the Europeans, now that Messi's in MLS, you will have to, like, pry it out of the Europeans' hands to have Inter Miami written across the Ballon d'Or stage. It's not happening. It's not happening.
Do you know how delicious that would be?
It would be like, so good.
I want
pink
that.
Flamingo logo.
I want that. I want that, and then I want them to run clips of him playing at Yankee Stadium. Yeah.
Like, these are the highlights.
Here's Messi in Sporting Kansas City.
I mean, it's a larger conversation because it you know, to me, award shows in general are a very public, you know, let's all stroke each other for, because it's like, I remember there was some like actor or somebody who won an award, and they were like, the award is in the work that you already did, the money you made, the plaudits, you already got the fame and everything. Like, now we're doing an award show. In sports, it seems even more ridiculous because you already hit the buzzer beater. Everybody carried you out of the stadium, and they're like, no, we need to have an award show so that we can praise them a little bit more. So a lot of times, award shows overall are they're for the industry. They're for the industry to highlight its its business and stuff like that. So that's why. Them giving a Ballon d'Or to an MLS player, UEFA's like, no, wait, how do we make this beneficial to us?
UEFA would have sweaty palms, breaking out in full body hives.
So, I was going to say, they didn't MLS even give it to Lewandowski, bro, the year like the season got canceled. You think they're giving it to an MLS player?
I know,
player?
Right, no, man? Way. So it'd be pretty hilarious. We'll see what ends up happening. So ideally, you would hope that whoever wins the Ballon d'Or, that they can celebrate their their incredible season with a nice cold Coors Light. Let's go, right, Christine?
Yeah, all the Coors Lights.
Because that is the way. That is the the drink of champions. All right. I mean, did I just make that ad campaign? I hope I don't get in trouble. But that's the best way to chill, because the thing that you learn very quickly when you grab an ice cold Coors Light is that the mountains turn blue to let you know that the drink is finally cold enough to drink. These other light beers, they don't do that. Okay? So that's what Messi and Haaland need for themselves. Okay? Do you agree?
Obviously. Do they not get just an entire case of Coors Light when they get the Ballon d'Or?
We got Coors Light, a special Coors Light door. Like, just a cold version or whatever.
The Coors Door.
Yeah, the Coors door.
Exactly.
Thank you. I'm so happy I could be here to receive this award. It's my lifetime achievement. I would like to thank my dog, Gigi. God.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't. Gigi first, always. Everybody knows God second. So when you choose to chill, pair your plans with an ice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Let's go. I got a note the other day. I was at the NYC Footy Governor's Cup on Governor's Island.
And were you playing or were you announcing?
I was announcing. But I had a couple people come up to me and they were like, yo, I'm a big fan of the show. But you know what I really love? I love your transitions into the Coors Light ads. I swear. I was like, what?
I'm glad that I could be a party to this.
I'm like, great. You know,
it's gonna be a fully interactive.
Because sometimes, you know, I listen to podcasts and then like, here comes the ad, and yeah. Wow, we gotta skip this, and
the
people
ad
are like, nah,
like,
I ain't
ice cold
skipping
Coors
this.
Light.
They're skipping for the Coors Light. I'm just waiting for the podcast. Where is the Coors Light live read?
There's not enough Coors Light ads on this podcast.
Mike's gonna be like, why are all these people fast forwarding to this point?
Minute 28 was very listened to. This episode.
So that was incredible. Okay. I want to just recap a little bit in Major League Soccer. I don't know, Christine, I don't know if you saw some of the goals the other day.
I saw a few of them because there were a few golazos that were. Ooh.
The Lucas Zelarayan.
Zelarayan from like midfield.
Dude, so they were playing.
The audacity.
They were playing the Chicago Fire. They were up 1-0 off.
Keeper off his line.
Dude.
Just playing all willy-nilly. Loose in the box. See, now there's where the Alexis comes in. Like, I hope I'm doing you proud, friend.
Like these double entendres? What's going on? This is a soccer podcast, I promise. But Zelarayan, Columbus Crew are facing the Chicago Fire. They're playing at Soldier Field. And this goal looked pretty much exactly like the Rooney goal from half field a couple years ago, where it was a turnover deflection off a Fire player, lands to Zelarayan's feet, and this is one of those things where it's the 93rd minute, yeah. In this game, 4 minutes of stoppage time, and he takes just a little peek. He's like, the ball's coming to him so fast. He takes a tiny little peek, see where the goalkeeper is. And this is where, you know, you clearly realize the difference between yourself and a professional footballer.
Oh, yes. Us mere mortals.
Because he made that decision so fast that and hit such a perfect strike that it was one of those things where I'm like, it wouldn't have even crossed my mind to take a look at the keeper with being that far away. I'm like, oh, what, 1 minute left? Maybe I can, you know, I get this.
Let me try to convert this all the way to the midfield. Yeah.
Well, there's only like one or two defenders in front of me. Maybe I can like get a good run. Maybe somebody will track with me.
It's the Chicago Fire.
And it's the Chicago Fire. And just literally one of the greatest. Is it one of the greatest goals ever? Not necessarily. Because
no, but you kind of like the element of surprise, like big bangers. No, realistically, most people are calculating that and going, maybe not worthwhile.
Right.
What I'll say about this goal, though, is normally when you get someone like from a half field shot and they score, it's because the keeper is like way out of position off his line. This guy wasn't that deep.
He had a big enough window. The window was cracked, but it certainly wasn't wide open.
No. Yeah. He barely got it open.
He was counting on, you know, he's just not going to pay attention. Yeah. He's already fantasizing about what he's going to eat post game.
I also loved the shot was he had the swerve on it where the goalkeeper is also running backwards, running in the wrong direction of where the ball is, and the ball bends in the air into the goal. And it just, you can't look worse as a goalkeeper.
It's a bad look. I mean, honestly, like the keepers, most of them that I've known that are or were pros could tell you exactly where both posts are from anywhere, right? Like they just have these weird spidey senses. They're a different breed, okay? But yeah, having to make that turn to run back and then running in the wrong direction is...
Yeah.
It's very Tom and Jerry.
Wild results. LAFC losing, 4-0 to Houston Dynamo.
There was a golazo on that game. The fourth goal for Houston.
Escobar.
He got it on the bar down. So nice.
But LAFC losing, again, especially after the CONCACAF Champions League final is...
That was Leon.
Against Leon. Is it just a slump? Are they like, because we just sort of expected LAFC to probably win another supporter shield. They were just like so incredibly dominant. Is there cause for concern for LAFC?
I think they have some stiff competition. Yeah. I think that part of it is a lot of the momentum, fandom, and everything, or the chatter around LAFC is so good, and it has been, that people overlook the fact that, you know, maybe they are not perfect in every way.
Yeah, they look bad. They look bad against Houston, but I was hearing like that it was like nine. They played in like 94 degree heat. And at that point, at that point, it's like anybody.
I feel like it's not like the running, like, have you played in Houston? Like, that's the first thing you say to a European player coming to MLS, right? Is like, Godspeed, friend.
Yeah.
Enjoy Houston.
There's like 3 months in the season where it's just like, even for the
and
Houston
players.
And those
are not any of the ones that you're coming in the next transfer window for.
You know what? At the very least, and maybe this is what I like about the Apple deal, which is it just that forced the games to be like late. So that at least you're not, there were Houston Dynamo
roasting
games
midday.
Played at 3 p.m.
Like, how do you feel about a 3 p.m.? It's nice, right? They're like sweating looking
brutal.
At the schedule.
Brutal. And that was like the history of the league. And Houston, you know, they've won MLS Cups and all this other stuff, but it was just like a shit place to play and nobody wanted to play there.
I don't know how to explain it, but I'm pretty sure that could be classified as a hate crime.
Sporting Kansas City beating Austin FC. And that I guess we just have to... Sporting Kansas City playing so well after being so bad these last few weeks. It is one of the most remarkable turnarounds. Alan Pulido got two goals. Kyrie Shelton scored a goal. Kyrie.
As everyone expected. I don't know what you're talking about. Always knew Kyrie had it in him.
It's been forever since we heard that man's name. But it's like there's this weird, like, I guess, I don't know if it's like flip-flopping through the season or just the summer woes for some of these clubs.
Yeah, I feel like that's what tends to happen, is either this point in the season you're going to see maybe the team that's been struggling a bit finally be able to steer out of it, and you're going to see kind of the top dogs flounder a little bit, depending upon what's going on, especially with those that have members on the squads that are getting pulled for national team duty.
Right.
It's been atypical, right? Remember, we did have, I know it feels like 100 years ago, at least to me, a Winter World Cup, and now we're back into the thick of it, and we're entering another, national team duty window everybody's going to be.
This is where it feels like, and maybe for newer.
I feel like that's where LAFC takes the hits. Like those teams with all the big names that, you start to pull them and then you're going to see them kind of struggle when they come back. Well, so we'll see what we get.
This is where, like, I think MLS or maybe newer MLS fans who are tuning in, like this is the summer is where, not where the season is sort of, where it's not make or break, but it is like, the thing that clearly differentiates us from like other leagues, right? Where Manchester City lost 5 games this season. That's like, if a team only lost 5 times in MLS, you would be like, yo.
You'd be like, heck yeah, playoffs.
They should be playing against Man City week in and week out. Like, it's so difficult to have a level of consistency where you are not, like, losing that many games. Like, I mean, I would say a good team probably loses 10 to 12 times and that's a good team. But in almost any other league, you're not winning your title. Yeah. You're not,
I mean, in any other league, charter flight or not, you're not covering the amount of ground that these guys have to cover match over match either, which is still slightly bananas, right? I adore so much when you see, like, pop up on Twitter, like the comparisons for our friends across the pond. That's like, hey, New York to LA. And then they like map it out in terms of, traveling through the UK.
Right.
And they're all flabbergasted and like, thank you. See, now you understand what we're doing.
And it's like the consistency throughout a season is just, it's very difficult to have a consistent season. But look at some of these results. You scroll through real quick. Atlanta United beating DC United 3-1, which you would sort of favor DC. DC have been better, but the Yakumakis, their striker for Atlanta, has like been he is fitting in perfectly. And I loved his interview on MLS cool 360 where BWP was asking him like, "Oh, are you thinking about the Golden Boot this season?" He's like, "Always, literally always." And it's like where I
eat,
love
sleep, drink Golden Boot. This man's got Golden Boot pictures hanging around his house,
just drinking beers out of the boot. But but to have like players that especially with strikers that obsessed. As soon as I heard him talk for a moment, I'm like, man, this guy's intense. You know what I mean? Like, so, but you just love seeing that, right? And then look, Montreal beating Minnesota 4-0. Montreal had a horrible start this season. A 3-3 result for Charlotte against the Sounders. Sounders, I were like, they're having to like figure stuff out. But that was like a boxing match. Going back and forth. And this is what we should kind of expect from time to time.
Montreal are having a heck of a turnaround, which is just confounding. But also,
no.
I mean, it's true. If you think about like how DC were doing, like in contrast to Montreal's performance with the same manager, it's...
Right. And I know how that goes there. Right, and he
especially since it was like contentious topic, given the situation
pushing
around
the players
him.
Too hard,
right?
And stuff.
You know, we had a couple of the players that like spoke outwardly about, you know, eating disorders and things that were sparked during his time there. To see what I assume must be the same. He's just a very meticulous manager, which I don't knock at all, and certainly like a hard love variety. But where it's working for Montreal after that, absolutely abysmal start.
It's one of those things where like the. You know, when the coaching style becomes like abusive, you obviously it's not a good thing. But then there is I've never coached. I don't know what the exact line is. I know if I was coaching like a U-12 team, I probably wouldn't employ those tactics.
This is why I'm not allowed to coach the U-12s.
Because it was like I did one day.
So there's because Julian Gressel, when he was coached under Losada, he was like, this guy changed my life. He made me think about a lot of different things and think about my training and my diet and all this other stuff.
I think that point there speaks a lot to the necessity as a manager of people to understand how, you know, who needs the hug and who needs the slap. And it's not a one size fits all. Foray into managing. It's just it's challenging.
Alexis is the hugging type of manager. he would do that. The other result I want to mention was San Jose beating Philadelphia Union, which is another big result. San Jose, a team for the last few years, just they could barely make the playoffs. Just had terrible, terrible seasons. But now with Lucci at the helm, they're looking great.
Lucci gang, Lucci gang, Lucci gang.
Exactly. Okay. I wanna move on and talk about a couple of some Serie A stuff, some Italy stuff.
Serie A, Italia. Forza Italia.
Okay, the one thing the news that we literally just got today is that the former prime minister of Italy, but also owner of AC Milan for a long time.
Yeah, owner of Monza, former owner of AC Milan. He purchased AC Milan in 1986 and led them through a bulk of their glory years, amassing 29 trophies. I think five of those were Champions League, eight were Serie A. And then the remainder were European trophies.
Yeah,
so it's
absolute legend.
It's Silvio, remarkable, absolutely remarkable.
Silvio Berlusconi passed away today at 86 years old. But if anybody has not heard of this man, obviously he's a very important figure in AC Milan history.
Also Monza, give him some credit for Monza because Monza ping pong.
I heard about him from AC
Monza.
Milan.
he bought Monza in 2017, and they had ping ponged between Serie C to Serie B. This season was their first season in Serie A. I was there for their very first game promoted to Serie A, which was kind of amazing. But he's done a lot for Calcio, irrespective of how you feel about him in terms of his politics, or mm-hmm. perhaps what many people notably remember him for, certain Boonga Boonga parties and things of that nature, which are a little bit more colorful in nature. We'll call it that, right? Wait, news voice. So yeah. Today, Berlusconi, no, he lived a very long life. He's 86. He was diagnosed with leukemia. He has had a very long and, I'd say, full life.
Yeah.
Especially as we're going to run
yeah,
through.
Yeah, we're going to go through a couple of just, his CV, because he did obviously a lot of things for the game. He was obviously very much involved in politics. But I just found this thread from the Upshot, at Upshot Towers. So shout out to Upshot Towers for compiling this. But in general, this man, the best word I would say is like just complete, utter womanizer, right? That is seems to be how he carried himself.
All I heard was Italian. Gli italiani.
Okay, because I'm reading some of this stuff, and look, I'm
Dominican. Listen, the Latin lover trope comes from somewhere, okay?
I'm Dominican, and I know my people, okay? I know what they're capable of, but
Dominicano,
some of the stuff this man
papi.
Does. Okay?
How many families do you have back in the Dominican,
I
Christian?
Don't look, it's nobody's business, okay? Just don't look at my Zelle transactions, okay? Also, it's weird to say, today's my 1-year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations to you and or Helene and others. I don't know. Was this like a polyamorous wedding?
Okay. I'm trying to break the stereotype. But no, Berlusconi, look, we're going through some of the thread, and we're looking at a photo of him looking at, I guess this is like some beauty pageant, and he's just staring at one of the women's butts.
He is appreciating
okay.
closely.
All right, we got a Berlusconi apologist with me. no, but look, this is one of the main things, the Bunga Bunga parties. The man it seemed like prostitutes were a device, a tool to do business. We've heard stories about him having these parties, inviting people. It's just kind of remarkable. It's one of those things where figures like these. It's one of those things where this worked in the 80s and the 90s, but now it's harder to do this.
There's a lot of things that we let slip by in the 80s and 90s that would not even make it outside of a tiny room in 2023. But yes, we have evolved as a people. Loved to party.
Right. Look at some of these quotes. So when he bought the team in 1986, mogul Silvio Berlusconi buys Italian giant AC Milan. He's given a hero's welcome, landing on the pitch in a helicopter, blasting out Ride of the Valkyries. He later admits the club was quote-unquote expensive, but the most beautiful women also cost a lot. My man is...
He's not wrong. I, too, am very expensive.
It's almost charming. It's like, yeah, he's like giving sort of credit where credit is due. And it's one of those like... you know, we have the most beautiful women. Like it's a way of like, like attracting foreign investment. You know, you want to do business here because we have the most beautiful.
Look at what we have.
Like he's just lifting the brand of Italian women and Italian people. So I mean, yeah, he's a creep. Let's not be crazy because. We know the other. He said this. This is just a strange compilation. he when he was the prime minister. He got into a thing with Angela Merkel, who's the German prime minister. And I'm not going to say the full word, but he basically called her uneffable. And this is not... This is Trump before Kubo. Trump, bro. This is Trump before
I'm zooming
Trump.
In on Kubo's face right now. Don't worry.
This is... I mean, look, Trump looked at this man's playbook and was like, I know what I need to do.
I can do that.
I want to bring this sort of practice into modern times. But pretty wild. Pretty wild.
I like my misogyny with an extra side of misogyny. I don't know about you.
Man,
something crisp about it gets me up in the morning.
You gave me two patties of misogyny. I only needed one patty. Yeah, I didn't. It's too much. But a very, it's. I guess look, if because AC Milan were so successful and winning so much, it's easy to. I guess for a lot of people, it was easy to look past a lot of this stuff.
I won't say look past, I'll say compartmentalize.
Ah, okay.
I think that that was key to a lot of, very much in the same vein as people will yell at, you know, athletes, you know, shut up and dribble, or, you know, I don't want politics in my sports. It was much easier at that time to sort of navigate these conversations because you kind of turned a blind eye to it and said, oh, well, that's what he's doing in Parliament. That's not what he's doing for AC Milan. Right. That's not what he's doing, you know. And again, I'm not endorsing this. This is just, let's look at it as like, Vecchia gives you your explanation on what times were like well before you were all born, because apparently everybody was born in like 2020. But it, yeah, it's just what life was like. And it was generally, don't get me wrong, it was still a little bit, it was spicy where people would kind of, oh my goodness. But it was far more acceptable in the norm than would be now. Now it would absolutely like cancel them twice. People would be setting things on fire.
Without a doubt, just, yeah.
But with that said, it's important to know the history and how people looked at these things, because history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, especially with other things going on in our respective governments.
Yeah, yeah. There's, I mean, yeah, this isn't something that was, you know, he wasn't the only guy. Let's not be crazy.
No, it was, yeah. It unfortunately was part of a more broader representation of men in power during the period of time.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, the hope is that things are have improved, and we're, you know, we're holding people accountable. But if you are someone who have did not know about this guy, it's I'm sure there's like, I know there's a podcast about it.
Yeah.
One of our producers had mentioned it. That
the Bunga Bunga podcast.
The Bunga Bunga podcast. Wait a second. I think it's Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, Whitney Cummings.
So if you want to, you know, we don't just plug in another podcast, but it's, if you want to learn more about
it. I'll have to listen to it. Like, Whitney is actually very funny.
Whitney's awesome. Alexis opened for her a couple years ago. A fascinating guy. So to wrap this up, AC Milan is in the news a lot, especially after losing in the Champions League semifinal, because they let go, they sacked their team president, GM, sporting guy, Maldini, obviously legend.
Yeah,
of Serie A.
Sporting, and yeah, so Maldini is not just front office. He's not just a former player. He has spent his life at AC Milan.
Mm-hmm.
And he is certainly a sort of this totem of the club. And I can't speak for other leagues, but within regard to Serie A, those key figures still exist, and they're integral to the success, stability, and sort of passing of the torch for those respective clubs. So you see it at Juve, you'll see it at Inter, there are teams, and it's very fierce alliances that they have. And in my opinion, I can't imagine dismissing Maldini. It just sends the wrong message to your fan base. Yes, they did have a few hiccups this season, but quite frankly, they haven't done anything to be embarrassed for or by in their playing or otherwise. There were a lot of disagreements with Maldini and Jerry Cardinal regarding funds for bringing in players and things like that, and the way that he foresee things going more affably for them. That's also acknowledging that last season, AC Milan won the Scudetto. They did that, yes, with largely the same personnel, but they all overperformed for mm-hmm. the duration of that season. To expect them to continue to do that season over season is a fool's errand. And that was something that Maldini was sort of trying to address. Now, if you don't have the same alignment with your owners and they're not going to give you the leeway to do these things, I totally understand. But I don't see Maldini ever having left AC Milan,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a familial relationship. You just, there's something extra there. And to remove him is to send a massive, massive statement to your fan base.
Yeah.
Especially as an American investor.
Okay. Yeah. It feels like you know, he's not gone because of a lack of success. I mean, how you get one game away from the, you know, the Champions League final. You're not doing anything wrong necessarily on the sporting side.
No, you just have a very, very differing opinion in terms of how you get to replicate that success going forward.
Yeah.
Seems like he and was, quite frankly, if you're going to trust anyone, let it be Maldini. It just, the wisdom that he imparts even to the younger players and kind of gives them someone to aspire to be that's actually on hand that you can speak to face to face and say, you know, what are the secrets to this and how do I navigate that? Mm-hmm. Just having him there to sort of stabilize things is just phenomenal. I know other people were arguing, well, look at what they've done with Toulouse, and totally horse of a different color.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you're not talking about the same thing in any way, shape or form. And they only got into that agreement, arrangement, and purchase in 2020. So for me, it's not a long enough duration to say proven success by, you know, them in world football.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, it seems like Maldini almost got like too ambitious. Like, he outgrew the club's ambition and the Jerry Cardinale.
At least Cardinale's
ambition.
I think it's a bit of inexperience and leaning too heavy into the business side. And you do need somebody that's willing and able to do that, but you can't strip out the emotion from Calcio specifically because the two are so required for this sport that we know and love and its fan base to thrive.
True.
It just too black and white in a very gray space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read Johan Cruyff's book, and when he talks about his time at Barcelona a lot, and Johan Cruyff was obviously a highly respected
master of the game
player and coach and was successful. And a lot of the conversations of like his struggles, even at Barcelona or when he was at Ajax, is like interacting with the board, like business stuff. It's like interacting with people who didn't play,
right?
And but they have an influential opinion on how the club is run, and no matter how successful you are, it's almost even worse probably if you are successful to maintain a working environment that will continue to breed success, because occasionally there will be people that have a lot of influence with the club that will kind of want to take it in a different direction or try to maybe we should get this player for, you know, whatever, Instagram follows. Yeah. But it's that ridiculous. And
Juventus largely did that with Ronaldo, right? You're counting on this projected future revenue based on, you know, big name signings, which all clubs do, right, as a boost. But when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place like that, and your I won't say your choice, but right, your options are to do so poorly that your entire front staff in terms of, you know, playing, sporting and otherwise get sacked because you've lost, or arrive at a destination where you're so at odds with your owner and your ownership doesn't understand. I would have such a hard time having an argument with Maldini about Calcio and the nature of what needs to transpire for a team.
Yeah, we can end this here. I just want to put up Matteo Bonetti's tweet about the statement, and he just wrote, the kind of statement you'd write for an intern who just finished his 3-month summer temp job, not a club legend like Paolo Maldini. And it's just like, that's one of the things that sometimes you could be a legend of the club, you can be highly respected, but if somebody with influence there is like, I don't know, this guy just, he's not the future, or it's not working with what we want to do, they'll just like, that's it, it's done. And so
I think that that's part of the problem. I don't want to say it's a problem, because COVID opened the doors in a lot of respects to external investments that were vital to keeping a lot of these clubs afloat. And we have to acknowledge that. But with that being said, there's a reason why Serie A was so closed doors to outsiders for so long. Mm-hmm. And it did preserve the club. But now you're also seeing the outfall of that, which is, you know, trying to do battle with someone like, you know, Premier League in European cups and things like that, where they have the cash injections. But now, to the downside of that, and this is to the argument for those who freaked out about Man City winning the treble, is like, you know, oil money and unethical and yada yada. Like, that's what you open the doors to when you seek external investment. But with that, the problem too, though, is you get people who don't necessarily have a footballing mind. Mm-hmm. They're pure business. You can be business and be Calcio, right? Like, you've seen it from De Laurentiis at Napoli, who he's been criticized too as being a very, very, very heavy on the business side, staunch businessman, and sometimes to the detriment of the sporting side, because he just is unmoved in these arguments about keeping, retaining, paying for certain players above a certain dollar.
AC Milan people can be like, come to Don't go to Man City. Come to a club like AC Milan that, with dignity, that with our bunga bunga parties. And it's like a club with class.
Listen, the stain of the bunga bunga party is long gone.
Okay, but I mean,
they're a perfect little diavoli.
Hey, we put a black light to those parties, and we'll probably find a couple
don't
more stains. All right,
don't we have to stay away from the black light. Just in general.
All right, let's wrap there, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. A reminder. The congressional soccer match is happening Tuesday, June 13th. So if you're listening to this right now and you're in D.C., go get tickets. They're free. The game is it's throughout. There's like a couple different matches throughout the day, but the main one, I believe, is around like 7:30 p.m. So come through if you're in the D.C. area. The link is in on my Twitter at Chris Polanco. Go check it out, or my Instagram at Christian_Polanco. We'll be back this Thursday with another episode. We have a fun interview coming up. We have Maria Sanchez of the Houston Dash.
Yes.
Will be joining
us. NWSL, a banger this past
week. Great.
Weekend.
Yeah. You have to just grill her on that alone. Just like every point. Just get her a little whiteboard. Just throw a dot.
She's crushing. She scored against Gotham yesterday.
Okay, that part I don't like, but
yeah,
everything
that part
else.
Was an
like,
issue, but
she's a baller.
But she's awesome. As always, yeah, follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all channels. Koopa, where can people follow you?
Watch Paramount Plus. Be sure to catch Morning Footy 7-9 and the Run Back 9-11, I believe.
Yeah. Well, your morning.
And, yes, of course, but always on Twitter saying absolutely eloquent, brilliant things all the time, I promise. And my Instagram, Miss Kupo, for my digital stuff. But thank you for having me. I adore being
the queen
substitute
of
Alexis
queen
and
of
or Christian.
You see her flag? Did you even notice her flag?
The Blangolin flag is a special touch, and I'm really happy that I could be am I the Minister of Defense Education?
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Okay,
we need to give you business cards, though.
Yeah, you'll be that organizer of the bunga bunga parties or whatever. Like, we got to figure out what how Blangola is going to incorporate these parties that have clearly been very very beneficial to Serie A and AC Milan. But before we wrap up, I want to just give a shout out to Talisman Caps for sending some caps our way. This is, I can read a little message, but you can open. There's two hats in here.
I'll do the opening.
Yeah, thank you.
Now that I realize that I also forgot to get back to Talisman about which cap I'd like specifically. I'm sorry, guys. I am very bad at responding to DMs, but I certainly will after this.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Yo, these are
keychains,
right?
Look at the little bag clips. Yeah.
Yeah, these are like little keychains of the U.S. Women's National Team players.
Ooh, if this is Crystal Dunn, I'm stealing it.
Well, I know one of the caps is Crystal Dunn, but let's...
Alexis, you didn't
open
see
that
this.
One and see see who's in there. That'd be dope. So this is from Talisman, which is a dope store in Minnesota. I wear their caps literally all the time. They're awesome. It says, Christian and Alexis, we are so excited to share our U.S. Women's National Team headwear collection made in partnership with U.S. Soccer and the U.S. Women's National Team Players Association. We've also included a surprise U.S. WNT figure bag made by Monogram Collectibles, sold exclusively on talismancaps.com. Enjoy. Bethany, shout out. Bethany,
that's very cute.
Small
like
business,
that.
Husband and wife. They do an awesome
it's
job.
It's Rapino.
Hey, you got Rapino in there. Who do I get? Let me see who I got.
Oh my God, she's so cute with her little pink hair.
How do I open this?
Here, let me assault my dentist one more time. I'm like, these teeth, you know?
It's usually like a perforation somewhere.
There's no perforation because they wanted me to do that. But you can handle the hats
and I'll
see who else
hats.
We got
so this
in
is,
here.
All right. Shout out. These are dope.
Very cool.
You give me an ISO right here.
Yes, absolutely.
This is, we got a Crystal Dunn cap. And we also have an Alex Morgan sipping tea. As well.
So you got Crystal?
Yeah.
Yeah, Crystal's the move. We got Mal Swanson.
Let's go. Oh, what a bummer. That I hope there's a miracle that she can heal and come back.
Reverse voodoo doll. We'll just
right,
like, we'll help heal the little
thing. This is
going to
be like the self-care Mal doll. It'll be like, what soft pillow can I prop you up on? Do you need the ice machine for your legs?
So shout out to Talisman Cap. Thank you so much for the gifts. Go
absolutely responding to you guys tonight.
go follow Talisman Caps and go talismancaps.com if you want to go pick up up some hats and some of this U.S. Women's National Team stuff to prepare for the Women's World Cup. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Another hot Cooligans episode in the books. We'll be back on Thursday with Maria Sanchez of Houston Dash. So we'll see you in a few days. Cheers.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.